This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Corona quarantine 2020. What did you do? Nothing, probably. Well, mostly me too. That doesn't mean you can't eat healthy and eat things that are good for you. You're getting Uber Eats every day. What are you doing? You're wasting a bunch of money, number one, and you're eating like a monster. Come on, man. Have some self-pride. Have some self-respect. Try NTT Nutrition. Check them out at nttfitness.com. They got good food. They got things that are good for you, and they are delivered right to your door, just like Uber Eats. Same thing, but you're eating things. You're eating macros and micros, whatever the hell that means. I don't know. I just eat it, and I know I feel better, and believe it or not, I'm actually looking better too. Check it out. Use my code LEVELUP15 at checkout and get 15% off your first order, nttfitness.com. All right, let's start the show.
Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi, first time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, ass. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5.
4, 3, 2, 1. Homemade broadcast, HMB Radio and RadioCP.com. Welcome back to the program, 813-693-2124, HMBRadio.com. Still off Instagram, but I am on Twitter, home_made_man. It's here. Election 2020 is here. It's like 2 days from now, or if you're listening when this podcast drops, it is the day. I'm so happy to be done with it, to get it over with. I don't care who wins anymore. I wish everybody could lose. That would be ideal. I'm very happy that I won't see any more impotent signaling from local journalists and friends and family. And it's just pathetic. I mean, it just consumes their entire life. It's really bizarre. I saw this one tweet from one of the guys who works at Creative Loafing. And Trump was and Biden were in town on the same day. Trump was having a rally at Raymond James Stadium, and Biden was at the fairgrounds with some weird like drive-in invite only, like 40 people could go type of thing. Virtue signaling. I don't understand the point in doing the rallies if nobody's there. I mean, you're trying to convince people. I understand that most people who are at these rallies have already made their mind up. They just want to see the president, or they want to see their presidential nominee or whatever. But what's the point if only, I mean, I saw this video of Biden walking out to this other place in the mountains. I think it was in North Georgia or something. And there's literally 20 people there. I mean, what's the point? Unless you're hoping that media picks it up and be like, look, he's being responsible. He's doing what the CDC is saying, which, okay, I get. But Trump just has these huge crowds of people, and you look at the polls and it says that Biden's winning, and you just see so many people showing up for Donald Trump. Donald Trump was here today. People were feigning. People were waiting 24 hours to get into Ray J to see the president. And they had to squirt him down with water hoses. People were passing out. It was still hot. October has just been a brutal month, even here in the Bay Area, Tampa Bay Area. And I saw that this dude, Ray Roa, who's the editor of Creative Loafing, just these impotent signaling tweets. It's so much funnier than virtue signaling, where they're just powerless. And they're just, why can't anybody do anything about this? It's like that kind of stuff, because he's like, he said that this Trump rally is leading to the streets surrounding an early voting site to be shut down for hours. And he said, I get that the Hillsborough SOE has put out its statement, but how is Florida Dems not considering some kind of legal action? Just looking for insight from lawyers, maybe. Because there's nothing wrong with it. That's why nobody's doing anything. It's not against the law. Well, why isn't it against the law? I don't like it. And they're just powerless to do anything about this stuff. I feel so bad because I know it's driving them absolutely bonkers. And maybe they'll get their way and maybe they won't. I guess we'll see very soon. It's just pathetic. I feel bad that it consumes their life this much. It's just nonstop on Twitter. I don't tweet anymore because I'm afraid, which sucks, but that's the world we live in now. So I don't put my opinion out on Twitter. I'll still talk about it here, or I'll talk about it on the radio, whatever. But there's just something about Twitter where it just sits and people can pick it apart and take it how they want to take it rather than how it was actually meant. And you miss a lot of clues, nonverbal communication, the sound of how you're saying something. So it's just not worth it. And it sucks kind of because they get to say whatever they want, but God forbid you say something they don't like. But you know, then you look at stuff like that, it's just like they're just powerless and they're just screaming and they're throwing a tantrum. And you know, I feel guilty for a lot of these, or not guilty, bad. I'm empathetic to them because that's got to suck to feel that way. And God forbid, we're going to see what happens, you know, if there is a podcast next week, if it is not the end of the world, where that has yet to be seen. But hopefully, you know, just be more screaming and yelling on the internet, and that's as far as it'll get. But we'll see. Anna's going to be here, stopping by here very shortly, very, very soon. And we're going to get started with the election 2020 part two, I guess. She had some good stories to tell. She got in a fight with her friends. I had my friends message me about last week's podcast. And yeah, so she's got her own story to tell and other things to make our predictions. And it was a good talk. So she'll be here very shortly. I want to tell you quickly about a charity ride that's happening on November 14th from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. It's $10. You get a $10 wristband, and it's put on by the St. Pete Fools. That's a new... not biker gang, but it's just kind of like a club that these guys go to, and ladies, and they call themselves the St. Pete Fools. And you can ride over the Skyway Bridge with them. There's a kickoff and after party at the Toasted Monkey. So you can check that out. Just Google St. Pete Fools, and you should be able to find them. It's going to benefit a young man with battling cancer right now. November 14th from 1 to 5, just Google St. Pete Fools and should be able to find it. I also want to tell you thanks to Truvy Salon and Spa, T-R-U-V as in victory, Y, salon and spa .com, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Pete. Get your nails done, get your hair did. When the revolution and civil war happens, you want to look good. Go to Truvy Salon and Spa .com. They'll hook you up.
You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.
Election 2020 is here.
It is. We are broadcasting into the future right now.
Technically, through the magic of...
saved audio.
Saved audio recording devices, we are able to head into the future. Yeah. And we are here on Election Day. It's a big one, the most important election in American history, some have said. I don't know if that's the case or not, but it will get you clicks if you work for a news organization to say things like this. So we'll go with that. Sure. I think it's a big one.
Do you like it when people tell you to vote? Forget about them telling you who to vote for, but they're like, you need to vote. which to me is funny because if they care, then they really only want you to vote for their candidate.
Yes. I actually tweeted this yesterday.
Just say vote for Biden or vote for Trump. Don't say vote because you don't care. Because if someone said, oh, I'm going to vote for the other person, you would say, stay home.
Verbatim tweeted that. That's so funny that you say that. Yes, because there's these people that work for the city. I used to do this City Hall podcast for the city of St. Pete. It was myself, Ben Kirby, Kevin King, who work in the Chrysler administration. One is the chief of staff. One is the communications guy.
Name dropping.
I'm just saying. but Ben does this. He's been doing it for weeks. I love Ben. He's a great guy.
But I feel a butt coming on.
Well, not a butt necessarily, but he's notorious for, he's been doing this for weeks where he goes, get out and vote. It's so important. We need to exercise democracy. And we need to vote. And when you vote, you need to vote for Joe Biden. Because
he literally says it just like that.
Yeah. So I know it's like, and I used to mess with Ben a lot, but I just don't bother anymore because I don't want anybody to view me as an enemy. You know what I mean? Even though
important.
I disagree with the system in general.
Sure.
But there seems to be more hypocrisy on one side more than the other that I found. So, and I, that's probably just because I'm exposed to that group more. I live in St. Petersburg. It's a very progressive town. Most of my friends are this way.
Forget about your social circle, but just media in general, like we talk about often.
Yeah. So that's just what I'm exposed to. So that's, I think, what I'm more critical of when I'm critical of these people. So I just want to go, yeah, but what if I'm going to vote for the other guy? Do you want me to go vote? And I have a feeling he would probably go, yes, of course I do. But really, he means no.
He's biting his
obviously,
tongue.
Obviously, you wouldn't want somebody to vote against. It, this is all, what do I need to say to get you to do what I want? So here's a bunch of articles slamming the other person. Now, what you need to do is go vote for this guy because he is not this thing, right? So I just thought that was really funny that people talk about exercising democracy. They don't really mean it. They don't really want you. They want you to do what they want you to do,
correct.
Not what you necessarily would want to do.
Uh-huh.
And that's very important to them.
And then, and people are very much like sheep. So I'm sure there's a lot of people who go, you're right, I should vote. I'm going to just vote for who everybody seems to be rooting for. And then I get to take a picture of myself with my little I voted sticker and put it on Instagram and say hashtag I voted, which is why I'm sure that's motivating a lot of people to go to the polls just so they can take a picture, a stupid selfie with that little sticker.
Yeah, you get free stuff, you know, a lot of companies are giving things away. A lot of local places are giving things away. Yeah.
I can't remember. Did I get a pen last time? I don't even remember.
Well, you just got to search out the deals, but you can get a free small cup of coffee. I think Kawa is giving away.
Not at the polls, you're saying.
Yeah, no. I mean, like, you'd have to go out of your way in order to get the things
that
businesses.
And you show them the sticker that you voted.
This is something that I was actually listening to the Kanye West Joe Rogan podcast, which dropped last week.
Yeah,
and
I listened to a little bit of the beginning of it.
It was, it's great. It's good. I actually, I think I understand Kanye West a little more. He's not a low IQ individual. He's just a little out there, a little all over the place, like crazy, but like a crazy artist type of way. I don't think he might have some mental problems, but everybody has mental problems. Doesn't mean you need to be medicated and whatever. But they were talking about how, do you ever notice the people who are just like gung-ho about get out and vote tend to just be like Democrats? Like where they talk about voting, they're like, those are people who are talking about voting for Democrats. You don't see like Trump people being like, you need to get out there and get to the polls and vote. See some of it, but definitely way more on one side more than the other.
Is it because they don't want a repeat of 2016 and they're trying to get power and they don't have power?
I think it's always been like that. And I think it's amplified because media is controlled by that wing. So it's every sort of media that is in, you know, put into your brain that you take in tends to be from that. It's all controlled by that. Matthew McConaughey was on Joe Rogan.
I know, he's an idiot.
But he's like a Christian dude.
I know. I was listening to him talk about being religious, and it was annoying me, and I remember shutting it off.
Yeah, well, he was talking about how he thinks he like kind of snuck through because he does recognize the cabal in Hollywood and that he is like a, I don't know if he's conservative, but he's definitely religious. And he thinks that he kind of like that's a big knock on being successful in that business.
Yeah, but the way that he was describing religion, he was like breaking down its Latin roots and stuff. That's when I kind of just shut it off, because he's like, people say that they're spiritual, not religious, but when you break down the Latin word for religion, it's blank, blah, blank. And he's like, so everybody is really religious when they mean spiritual. I'm like, all right, shut up.
I wonder if you have an aversion to that just because you're a diehard atheist. That you're kind of closed-minded to religion.
It's not that I'm closed-minded. It's just he's arguing semantics and not how everybody views when we say someone is religious. So he's just trying to break it down like, technically everybody's religious and not spiritual because they want community or whatever religion breaks down into Latin.
Mm-hmm.
So do I have an aversion to it? Listen, if he was making some like decent points, but once you start talking about like ethereal stuff and energies and things like that, my brain just goes, okay, he's going to start talking about zodiac signs soon, and I'm just not on board with that.
Yeah, it's funny. We kind of talked about this, me and you, just personally yesterday, actually. Yeah. And I saw this video. I don't know if you saw it. It went viral. It was a TikTok that a woman put out in which her father, her conservative father, had the serious type of cancer, was on his deathbed. Did you see this?
No.
And he's always voted for Republicans. Okay. And she had assumed, I guess, that he was going to vote for Donald Trump this time, and he had just weeks to live. And it was one of those, you ever see those videos where the format is, it's like them holding cards, handwritten cards, and there's like music playing in the background, and then they do like a surprise ending. They don't speak, but they have these cards, these cue cards.
I have a feeling I know where this is going. Can I give you my prediction?
Oh, sure. I know you probably know. Yeah, go ahead.
But I didn't see it. He's going to say, I'm a lifelong Republican, but I'm not voting for Donald Trump.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's yes. What I thought. Yeah. And that's what it was. And she was very emotional.
Who is she?
In the video.
Daughter, you
She's
said?
The daughter. Okay. She was thrilled that her father was had atoned for his past sins and was going to vote for Joe Biden. And he was very excited to tell her that he was going to vote for Joe Biden this time and not Donald Trump. And he was going to be dead in a few weeks. And this was more, this meant more to her than... I don't know. I guess that then is presumable death, that she was just so excited that he was going to vote for Joe Biden. And it's become, if you listened to the episode last week, if you haven't, go back and check it out, because I got into this really weird, and I know you had an incident too that I want to touch on this week. But I had an incident with a friend's girlfriend who was trying to convince me to do what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't go well.
No.
So go back and listen to that. And there is something... in this, this is like become not like politics anymore. This has become a religion for people. It's a fundamentalist religion.
It's and a secular religion.
The way she reacted, it was like she converted a mud person to Christianity. Mm-hmm. Is what that this video kind of kind of reminded me of. And like his soul was saved now. Like he was going to be dead in a few weeks, but his soul, he had atoned, he had accepted the Lord and Savior into his heart.
Right.
And that's just the way it presented to me. And it has become that for a lot of people. And I think it's because there's something in the brain that it needs to have some sort of higher power.
We were talking about this yesterday, about the occupation of religion and the role that it plays in the human brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you were just saying that when you don't have religion, now your politics becomes your religion. You know, you have very strict rules, and if you don't abide by these rules, it's very much like Sharia law. Not that we're throwing people off roofs, but I'm sure a lot of people would think that that was okay if you are homophobic or transphobic.
Yes.
Like, get rid of these people, right?
Yeah.
So when we were kind of going back and forth about how politics or people who are really, let's say, activists, because that sounds like a nice word, within their political group, and how that is similar to people who are really, say, evangelical or really orthodox in whatever religion that they practice. Very similar. And I think that it occupies a similar space in that you have A, community, and B, a sense of purpose. And when you combine those two things, I feel like maybe every human being needs those things in unison. So you can't just have a community and you can't just have purpose. But if you have community and a purpose, that is something that maybe humans need to feel like, A, they're part of a group and they belong to something, and B, that their life is somehow meaningful to a better future.
And I think the one thing and the most important thing that is also needs to be added to that is the appeal to a higher power. You're appealing to the state. The state is your God now. The state's Jesus. Joe Biden is the head of that state. He's the mascot. He is the new the new Jesus. He's the savior.
Maybe in this case, yes. I feel like there might be some fundamental differences where people feel like he's not the best that the Democratic Party can do, but he's better than Trump, sort of a thing. So I don't know if you can equate that to like the Messiah, but
well, it takes the place of that because they tend to be, I think people, especially on that side, are godless. They don't believe in Christianity or any sort of really religion.
Mm-hmm.
So that energy has to go somewhere. So the next best thing, while not a god, not literally a deity, it plays that role, right? So it's not literally God, but it plays the role of that power that's lacking in their lives.
Do you feel like a lot more people are activists now, like percentage wise, than were pre-internet? Like a lot more people, because
no.
Or is it just getting magnified because that's all we're seeing?
I think people are activists in the sense of maybe they'll tweet stuff in support of certain causes or certain politicians that they like.
Yeah, but
they're
like
not
you're saying,
really
lackluster when it comes to activism.
They're not.
But a lot of people are hitting the streets. Are they not? Or I mean, they are, right?
Like, yes. Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's, you know, more than the past necessarily. I mean, there have been people hitting the streets for a long, long time.
But not in these numbers. And like,
I don't know
when
if that's
think about
true.
Like BLM and stuff like that and the women's protest. I mean, these are like
there's
massive
always been
movements.
Watch marches on Washington for
not like, but
mean,
not to this extent
yeah,
in terms of size.
Yeah,
nah, the women's movement was the largest global movement in history. But also, there's just more people now too. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So I'm thinking like I'm trying to think percentage.
Yeah, I don't
wise.
Know. I mean, maybe that could be true. I don't know. But yeah, there's always been people that have you know took to the streets and felt like that they could fight the power and or dissidents, but dissidents tend to just play into the system too.
But now there's also an element where if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. So you're not only, it's not only enough that you're not helping the bad guy. If you're not helping us, then you might as well be the enemy is what they think. So it's like they pressure you to not only be apathetic, but to be on their side. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely, well, they try to convert
you. So it's like you might as well be going to a Trump rally or doing nothing because if you're not taken to the streets for their cause, you're part of the problem.
But how many people, you know, we know a lot of these people who are very into certain causes and are, you know, friends of ours mm-hmm. and, you know, that we would go have a drink with and have very, we don't feel the way that they do
no,
about things
no.
at all. But they look at it as like a sin, but how like serious do they actually take it? Or is it kind of virtue signaling online or something like that? Because if they really felt these things, then we would be out. I mean, we would be excommunicated. We're not in the church. We would be excommunicated. You know, we're a, what do the Scientologists call it?
I don't know.
Oh man, there's a certain term that they have, but it's like a banned person. Like they're toxic. You need uh-huh. to get away from them. And then they follow through with that and don't talk to this person anymore. Like you're excommunicated from the church. You're not allowed to talk to your friends anymore that are still in the church.
Well, I think it's also, not also, but I think because at least with your close friends, they've known you for so long. And I know some people are canceling their family and friends
yeah,
they've known
oh,
for
yeah.
years, but I think that your friends, most of them are pretty sensible and they enjoy your company and they've known you for years and they know that you're not a bad person. So I feel like even if they don't agree with you, they don't think that, I don't think that they think you're racist. I don't think that they think you're homophobic. They might just be annoyed and frustrated, but with you and in your views, but I don't think at their core that they believe that you are those things because then I think they wouldn't hang out with you.
Right. So my immediate friends, my friend group, they probably just think I'm silly or something or I'm uninformed or, you know, whatever because there's a, like, it's not like up for debate anymore. The debate is over and we've determined that we are right. So we are the truth. So if you're obviously missing something, if mm-hmm. you're not. And it's like this today, I saw this, and it's by design, because if you just consume what, you know, corporate press puts out, corporate media puts out, you're going to go, well, this is the truth. This is the gatekeeper. This is the appeal of authority. We talked about this last week. Go listen to that podcast if you haven't. But today, for example, so a reporter asked Joe Biden about his son's computer. You know, and that's been, he's just said, no, it's Russian propaganda. It's fake. And he has the truth on his side, even though it's not, but he has the truth on his side because what he said was no credible media outlet will cover this. Ergo, it's not true because the news is the news. Mm-hmm. They would cover it if it was a true because it's news.
Mm-hmm. But the news is biased and has an agenda. And,
news has more than just a bias. It has an agenda. So, but he is on the right side. He already has the truth because he has those institutions behind him.
So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Kind of, yes. Right. And
let me tell you what would be different, I think, if you had a conversation with your friends, because we were talking about if they really do feel this way or are they virtue signaling. I would bet money on if you had a conversation with one of them one-on-one, not in front of anybody else, I am sure you would have a much more honest conversation, because the conversation that we got into with them was within a group of people. And they felt like they had to virtue signal in front of one another. But I bet if you had a one-on-one conversation with one of your buddies and it was just you and him or her, I bet that you both could have, at least on their end, a much more honest conversation. And they didn't feel like they would feel more comfortable saying things that maybe other people would view as, and I'm putting this in heavy quotes, racist, homophobic, whatever the term is. I'm sure that you could have a much better conversation with them if it was one-on-one, because once you're in a group, you feel like you have to signal to the other people that, listen, I'm on the right side of history here. But if you're one-on-one and nobody else is really judging you, you can go like, yeah, I don't really like that. And
you have personal experience with this. So yes. You tell me your story, because it went quite differently than my story. And I was kind of like relieved to hear it, because when you had first told me, I was like, oh no, because I know you've been friends with this person for so long.
Since we
and
were
like,
four.
Is this going to end, your friendship?
Yeah.
And I was nervous when you tell me, but please.
I was too. So I have a best friend that I've been friends with, and I don't think she listens to any of my stuff. So we're good. We're in the clear. I was talking to her on Saturday night, and I just wanted to tell her about Murdergate, how I was almost murdered. I really had no intention of talking politics with her. Politics has never been an interest of hers. It's never been stuff that we've discussed before. And I hadn't spoken to her in probably like a month and a half, 2 months. So there was a lot to catch up on just with our personal lives, which is what I prefer to talk about most of the time. So I was trying to tell her about Murdergate, and I was like, yeah, I was almost murdered, crazy. And then I don't know how we got onto the election, and she goes, she said something. I think I was talking about like being home or something. I said, but I need to vote on the 3rd. So blah, blah, blah. And she goes, oh, I've already voted. I'm like, cool. Anyways, back to me almost being murdered. And she goes, yeah, I voted for Trump. And I went, what? I'm like, are you being facetious or are you being for real? And she goes, I'm kidding, obviously. I go, oh, okay. Anyways, back to me almost being murdered, blah, blah. She goes, wait, who are you voting for? And I go, I'm voting
please,
for Trump.
No.
I'm voting for Trump. Now, yeah. Can we please get back to me almost being murdered? And I'm telling you, Will, she flipped the F out. And I was shocked. And I go, and she's like yelling at me, and she's getting really aggressive. And she like at one point almost, she turned around Murdergate and was like, well, maybe this is your fault because you need to vet people who are coming into your house. I go, what are you doing? I'm just trying to tell you what's going on in my life. Why are you being so hostile right now? And she goes, I can't believe you. He's a racist and blah, 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 blah. He's a sexist. And I go, hold on. I go, with all due respect, you're not even into politics. So, like, what the hell do you know? Sort of a thing.
But she knows what she hears on CNN or MSNBC.
I was under the impression that she doesn't even watch the news because she thinks it's toxic and bad for her energy.
She also lives in... she's right.
Kidding.
She's
I'm
right.
I'm not kidding. So, I mean, she's, she's all about holistic stuff.
But she's in California, right?
Yes.
Okay.
San Diego, California. Okay. She's heavy on the mask deal, which is totally fine. That is your prerogative. Absolutely. And she just starts... But her issue, she's a one-issue voter, a one-issue person, and her thing is climate change. So she starts yelling at me about climate change, and she starts, I swear to God of my life, Will, she started quoting a John Legend song. Not Legend, John Lennon song.
Oh, even worse.
And I go, listen, Toots, sweetheart, I appreciate the sentiment, but I'm going to have to shut this down right now. Can we talk? Can you give me some facts and not lyrics to a song, please? And she didn't like that very much. So we were going back and forth. But how you kind of get at these people is you got to start talking about how you don't like the other side as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I go, listen, they're all demons from hell. And she starts yelling at me, then why would you vote for him? I go, no, I said, I think Donald Trump is a demon from hell. So she starts laying into me, why would you vote for him? Blah, blah. I go, hold on, hang tight. But he is a demon from hell that wants to be less involved in my life and wants to give me more freedoms and liberties. I'm going to vote for that guy. You know, and when you think about everything that happened with COVID, I mean, this could have been the biggest power grab in our lifetime.
It is the biggest. We're not going to get a lot of these freedoms back after this. And people are begging for it. That's the scary thing.
For the government to take over.
Yes.
So the fact that he didn't capitalize on more than he could have, that he said he left it up to the states, he left it up to people. He's not clamoring for people to be arrested that aren't wearing masks, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, if they're all demons from hell, which we believe, we think politicians, you know, have their own agenda. They're greedy. They're narcissistic. A lot of them are bad people. Don't you want to vote for the one that's going to give you more liberties and freedoms? And then that kind of resonated with her. Then you start, you know, dropping little baby bombs. You go, KKK, all Democrats. What? No. Yes. I sent her the History Channel article. I'm not sending her Fox News. Sending her the History Channel.
That helps, too, when you're talking to somebody who's in the church, is you send them transcripts from their own gospels. So you send them New York Times links. Like, you have to search it out sometimes, but
yes,
they will send, like, I've told New York Times.
They will dismiss sources that they don't find credible.
So, for example, with the COVID stuff, I found a New York Times article that says that, surprisingly, it seems like schools being open is not affecting COVID, that kids are not good spreaders of the disease for whatever
super
reason.
Spreaders.
And that's important, because that means probably that schools should be open then, if that's the case. And schools have been open here in Florida, and we seem to be doing pretty good. Everyone's anticipating that second wave, whether, you know, I'm sure it will come, but, you know, with the extent, what that means exactly, I don't know. So you can send that to some of your friends, and they will actually look at that stuff if it's from the New York Times or Washington Post. But if you send, you know, a Daily Wire article.
Yeah, get out of here.
Or even a video, even a tweet, like if it's from the Washington Examiner and it's a video.
Yeah,
they won't entertain it. Yeah. They won't believe their lying eyes if it's a video with something like that.
Absolutely. And then I said, and she goes, Trump's a liar, this, that, and the other. And I said, Deba, do you think, I just said her name, whatever. I said, do you think that masks are effective? And she goes, absolutely. And he's not wearing them. I go, do you remember back when Fauci told everybody that they shouldn't be wearing masks and they're not effective and that it's actually counterproductive and spreads the virus more? She didn't recall that. And then they changed course 2 weeks later. Why? They lied to the American people because they thought it was for their greater good. For their good. They decided that they were going to lie to the American people. So then that kind of slowed her roll a little bit. Then you just start dropping bombs. Then what you got to do, and this is also a good strategy. Not like I'm not actively trying to persuade people, but if you want people to at least understand where you're coming from, which I think is the most important thing. Not to persuade. That's never my goal. I don't care what you think. Mm-hmm. Has no bearing on me or my perspective. I'm happy to think what I think. You should be free to do whatever the hell you want to do and think however you want to think. But if you just want to see my perspective, then what you do, at least what I found effective, is that you show them articles or people or videos of, at least the example that I use are black conservatives, because a lot of times conservatives get the rap that they're racist, which is the worst thing that you can be in the society. But when you have Candace Owens, when you have Larry Elder, when you have Thomas Sowell, when you have Brandon Tatum, when you have all these people who are very well educated and they're talking about race and black lives and BLM and father absence, and they're able to say it, the things that maybe you think and believe, and they're black, they're basically giving the green light to white people to say, it's okay to have these feelings and thoughts, and you're not racist for them.
Yeah.
So that, and honestly, I that's what I did, because at the beginning, during my transition, when I was transitioning from a whatever to a whatever, I was feeling kind of the same way, where I'm like, do I have the right to think this way, but does this make, because everyone is telling you you're racist, you're sexist, you're homophobic, but then when you have other people who are black saying, no, these aren't racist ideas and these aren't racist thoughts, you feel better about it. Mm. You feel better about having these ideas and you feel less guilty. You feel less guilty for having them. So I sent those things over.
It's weird, though, how those a lot of those people are discounted to immediately as either being a grifter or they will use racial slurs to describe them. I've seen,
Uncle
you know,
Tom.
You see, yes, and other ones.
Sure.
I don't want to say just because I don't want to get canceled.
Yeah.
But, you know, that and that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying they'll say, like, oh, they're phonies. They're just trying. They're getting paid. They're on a payroll.
A shill.
You know, you have these little skinny white kids in Portland calling black police officers the N-word, and they can do that because
they
say that. Well, it's funny because I think I brought this example up the other day, but we live in a comedy sketch. There are a lot of comedy sketches that have happened in the past that now are just real life. So. The one that comes to mind for me is they'll call that group the Proud Boys. The guy who's the leader of it is a Afro-Cuban man, right? But they'll call that group white supremacists. Remember Clayton Bigsby from Chappelle's Show was a black white supremacist, head of the Klan?
Yeah.
That skit was one of the greatest like bits ever that's ever been aired on television. And because it was so absurd and so funny, just that concept of there being a black guy that runs the Klan. Like, they're just counterintuitive. They don't work. And it was just put together so well. But that's just real life now. And they'll totally say that. They're like, oh, yeah, well, they're a black white supremacist. Mm-hmm. And you just go, okay. Well, I don't know where to go from there. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just a dead end.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's any point in even conversating with people who are like that. And those are people that tend to be, like I said, in the church. They have a certain window of things that they can look at. They don't look around the corner for anything.
Right.
So they'll say that without any sense of irony.
Sure.
And thankfully, I haven't met anybody like that in my personal life, but I've definitely seen it on the internet.
As have I. But I do have to say that the story with my friend has a happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
Where at the end, tensions definitely calm down. And I go, listen, I'm not trying to persuade you or convince you of anything, but now at least you see where I'm coming from. And she did, because she goes, okay, you're not a one-issue voter. I said, no. Climate change is important, but to me, I feel like right now, jobs, national security, immigration, those things are probably like my top three of what I'm focusing on, along with everything else as well. So at the end of it, she said to me, like, you know what, thank you for very much for kind of like opening my eyes to a few things. I appreciate it. And I was blown away and I thanked her for it. And I said, listen, that's what I'm all about, is civil discourse. I don't care if you agree with me, disagree with me. You should have whatever thoughts you have. I'm never going to tell you to go vote, especially never tell you to go vote for anybody. That's your personal business. But I did really appreciate her coming at me and saying, listen, I understand where you're coming from now. Blown away.
Yeah, that's great. And I think you do have your relationship in the past. You've known her, you know, for 30 years. So that's definitely helps. It would be tough to do that with, you know, my experience with my friend's girlfriend, you know, that's different. I don't think I would get anywhere with her speaking with her about. And that's why I tend not to bother. I don't want to even have these conversations with certain people. Like a couple of my better friends, I can fight with them and then we're okay the next day. And I've done that many, many times. So it's cool, you know, to people that are actually in your life, but people who aren't really in your life, I don't think it matters. And I don't want to, much like you, I don't want to convince anybody. Like, I get why you feel the way you feel, and I'm not trying to change your mind. Like, this is a journey you have to take on your own.
It's like, the left is like the Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, they're coming to everybody's house. There's no solicitors. Leave us alone.
Yes,
you know, I just want to be left alone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to convince you of anything ever. I just don't care. I don't feel like my life is going to change that much if Biden is president or Trump is reelected. Mm-hmm. And I told my friend, listen, how much did your life change day to day from Obama to Trump? You still go to Whole Foods. You still do yoga on the beach. You still do your whatever Pilates. Like, everything is pretty much the same. But the news you're consuming is convincing you that your life is somehow in peril and that the future is very uncertain and you could be, you know, captured or whatever, like lose your rights, lose your right to have an abortion at any moment. And that's really just not the case right now.
Mm-hmm.
So calm the hell down.
Yeah.
Shut up.
That's good advice. And I wish it was that easy. And I feel bad for that. It's weird because I've kind of taken the humanity out of those people and I look at them as a few lines of code that they are encoded. They were programmed, you know, in school. They went to college. They were programmed with this stuff. and I'm not going to be able to get in there and get on the keyboard and tinker with their programming. I don't have the time. I don't have the want to.
Yeah, the
I don't
will.
Have any of the time to do this stuff. So I look at them like that, and I go, it makes me empathetic towards them, and it makes me look at them as more human, even though I look at them as code. Do you know what I mean? Like you
I
could,
do. I mean, here's the thing. Like, and we were talking about this yesterday. I know that they're compassionate people and they mean well, and intention matters.
Yes, that,
I always
that
say
too.
That intention yeah. matters. So even if you really disagree with someone and they're hardcore BLM or they're hardcore whatever, or you know, gay this or you know, minority that, they mean well.
They want to save your soul.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and I we were talking about, you know, the difference between accidentally killing someone that jumps in front of your car versus actively going to someone's house and murdering them. In both cases, someone is dead, but in one case you don't go to jail, and the other one you go to jail for life. So intention matters. And if they think that they're on the virtuous path, even though I think that their method is wrong, I can still think that they're good moral people.
Yes.
And that's important to have. And that's really important to have, especially with times that are so contentious as they are now. The fact that you're able to look at someone you don't agree with and go, like, I think you might be an idiot, but I know you're a good person.
Right.
Like,
yeah. It's important. Yeah. And, you know, even if they look at you the same way, I mean, that's fine. As long as you can, you know, your politics really don't shape your day-to-day life. You know, you could still be friends. I mean, I would say 90% of my friends are on, you know, the progressive side of that.
And most of them are very good natured.
And they're all great people. Yeah. I wouldn't be friends with anybody. It wasn't bad people. Mm. Although I will say, yes, they mean well, and they are, you know, trying to save your soul, I guess, is how they would look at it. They're also some of the most awful human beings I've ever, like, I've never heard.
Your friends?
No, not my friends, just people on that side of the spectrum, okay. Where they are saying, like, people with coexist stickers on their truck or on their Prius
are among the most hateful people.
Most hateful human beings. I gave an example of Anthony Bourdain, God rest his soul. I was a fan of his when he was alive, and I remember him saying something like, you know, I want to boil Sarah Palin alive. And that's like, whoa.
That's kind of sick.
That's sadistic, yeah. And you hear those sentiments, like, if you're not on, like, they're very sympathetic and empathetic, and, you know, if you're in their tribe, but if you're not, then you are a demon, and, like, whatever happens to you, so.
You had it coming.
You kind of had it coming, you're on the
That's
wrong
sick.
Side, you're
That's
a demon.
Sick way to think.
It is, and that goes back to good and evil, being a religion, and you're in, you know, I'm not going to say a cult, but you're definitely in a religion. And
How do you differentiate it? Because I've looked it up before, but they're very similar. I mean, to me, it seems like a cult is a cult until it's just, it passes a threshold, and then when it's accepted by enough people, it becomes a religion.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't really, you know, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't really know the answer to that. A cult to me is like the Heaven's Gate, where you like kill yourself. Or something, I guess.
At Jonestown.
Like, maybe a religion is just a cult where you don't kill yourself. I guess that's...
You have to kill yourself to be in a cult? Or you...
That's how I kind of look at it.
Willing to.
That's how... Yeah, that's kind of how I look at it, I guess.
You think about, like, Islam?
Hey, you know...
Anyway,
I think there's something to be said for...
Let's wrap this puppy up.
All right, let's give our predictions.
Okay.
Joe Biden versus Donald Trump.
Ladies first, go ahead.
My brain is telling me that Biden wins.
Okay.
My heart says that Trump is elected to another term.
Okay.
My gut's always right. Donald Trump is elected as the president of the United States for his second term.
I agree. I think that we're going to see, again, I think it's something along the lines of 59 million people have already voted. So I don't know how many of those have been counted and how much of that they're factoring into the polls right now. But as we all know, I think come November 3rd, Trump supporters are going to be out. And I do think that Trump will be reelected.
Now, what do you think the outcomes of that will be? The immediate outcomes of do you think people are going to riot on the streets? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think it's going to be good.
I'm really concerned about it.
Please, at least my friends and family, but anyone, don't do it. It's not worth it to go out there and fight people in the streets. It's not going to change anything. You're gonna be, we're gonna be killing our neighbors. Stay inside your house. Load your guns and stay in your house. Yeah,
I second that sentiment. I'm very concerned because I don't think that Biden will be an effective leader. I think he's gonna take us down the wrong path. But also, I'm more worried and concerned that if Trump gets reelected, that there's gonna be a massive backlash. It's not going to just be the peaceful women's march.
Yeah.
It's going to be violent and it's going to be bloody.
And you're going to have media parroting that. That
side.
You need to be out in the streets and this election was stolen.
Imagine?
And you need to be out in the streets and you need to fight. And they will do it shamelessly and they will do it often. So good luck, everybody.
Godspeed.
And yeah, if your candidate wins, good for you. If he loses, I'm sorry. Better luck next 4 years. Please don't start a civil war over it. Stay in your homes. Don't go out in the streets. Don't fall for the trap of going and killing your neighbor. Just stay inside. Enjoy. There's a virus out there. You got Netflix. You got Uber Eats. You got Postmates. You can order yourself whatever you want and sit in your home. And watch the fires burn from the safety of your home. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been fun. I'm glad that the election is over. I don't think it's over, though. We'll see what happens next week. I hope to talk to you next week. I'm sure all will be well, though, no matter what. So thank you for listening. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frankie Vera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcasts, thank you so much. Please do tell a friend about it. Retweet my tweets about it at @home_made_man and follow me over there. HMB Radio on Facebook. Follow Radio St. Pete, Radio STPETE on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Very, very easy to find. So, yeah, that stuff helps. You know, sharing it with a friend, giving the podcast a 5-star rating. There's a donation page on HMB Radio. If you're enjoying the shows and want to contribute monetarily with a tip, that would be awesome. I'd appreciate that. But you don't have to. This is a free show, something I do for fun. And, yeah, maybe one day I can make it a career. But until then, I'll keep talking to you weekly. I hope that all is well with you. I hope you stay well. I hope you're COVID-free. I hope that the person you want to win wins. And I hope to talk with you next week. Will Koontz, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Take care.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.